What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. John, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. John, they were about as bad as it gets against the Browns, and then they responded against Cincinnati and played about as well as I think they can play. What impressed you the most about the Titans on Sunday and their win against Cincinnati, and I guess what was most surprising to you at the at how they were able to do it?
Yeah, you know, I think what probably stunned me most, I guess, and was most impressive was the offense. You know, really an explosion for the offense that we saw there in the first half. I mean, this offense was so poor against Cleveland, 94 yards of total offense. And then you look at what they did in the first half against the Bengals. You know, not only did the fact that they ran up to 24 points, but it was kind of the way they did it. You know, you look back at you know, the play-by-play, and there was a stretch, nine plays, eight out of those nine plays, the Titans had 15 yards or more during one stretch, and that's almost unfathomable if you go back a week and you look at what the Titans were doing against the Browns. So I think, to me, that really stood out. You know, they weren't obviously quite as explosive in the second half, but you know, when you rattle off a 10-minute drive in the third quarter and you have a huge lead, that does significant damage too. And then I think, you know, when you switch over and you look at the other side of the ball, we had seen play after play, X play after X play, you know, getting completed against the Titans in the previous three games. Longest play they gave up to Cincinnati was 17 yards. You know, there was constant pressure on Joe Burrow as well. So a lot of good things for the Titans coming out of that game.
So through four games, John, this team compared with what you thought it would be before the season started, how would you compare those two teams?
You know, I guess if you average everything out, it's probably somewhere around where we thought it would be. It's just maybe that we didn't think that we would see the extremes that we have seen so far. You know, for a team that has not scored a touchdown in two of the four games, and in the other two games looked very, you know, solid offensively, looked explosive against the Bengals. So, you know, I think it's an interesting situation right now. You know, you're a quarter of the way or so into the season. You're getting ready for divisional play. And this is, you know, this is really where you start making your mark. So I'd say, you know, the Titans are probably, as they say, about where we thought they would be. It's just not necessarily the way that we thought they would arrive there.
John, so obviously Petit Frere's suspension cut short. They should be getting Skoronski back here pretty soon. When those two guys are back in the fold, what do you think this offensive line should look like?
That is the key question, isn't it? You know, and I think all of a sudden, you know, Mike Vrabel has some options, you know, which is something he really hasn't had much of, you know, to date on the offensive line. I think, you know, to me, Skoronski right now, you know, as soon as he's healthy, obviously he's going to be a starter. I think for the moment, I still think he goes back in at left guard, the position that the Titans have used him at, you know, so far and throughout his first offseason and first game. You know, and honestly, I think probably this week, even if Nicholas Petit-Frere is ready, I still think they stick with Hubbard for the moment. I think Hubbard has been playing pretty well, and I think Petit Frere is obviously, you know, probably a little bit rusty now as well. I think maybe when things start to get interesting to me on the offensive line is maybe in a week or two, you know, if Andre Dillard, who held up pretty decently against the Bengals, if he is struggling, really struggling at that left tackle spot in maybe another week or two, and you've got that bye week coming up, maybe that's when you say, okay, let's try something new. Again, if Dillard is really struggling at that point, and then you've got options there. You know, do you take a chance and move Skoronski out to left guard, keep Radins out to left tackle, and keep and use Radins at left guard? Do you go Radins at left tackle, or do you go with NPF at left tackle, leave Hubbard at right tackle? So all of a sudden there are options. I don't know if we're going to see a ton of change maybe this week, but I'm more interested maybe a week or two down the line. Again, if Dillard is showing some real signs of struggle, to me, that's when things maybe turn around more.
What's been the most surprising thing to you, John, about the AFC South so far, which of course has 4-2-2 teams right now?
Yes, I guess probably a couple things. One, that they seem all over the map so far. Everybody's beaten one another, except for the Titans haven't played any AFC South opponents. And then the obvious is that I probably expected the two rookie quarterbacks to struggle a bit more than they have. I mean, C.J. Stroud has gone out there and basically thrown for, almost 300 yards a pop in each of these games, and I wouldn't have necessarily envisioned that. And Anthony Richardson, he doesn't have the passing numbers, but certainly he's had an impact, a big impact, whether it's running the ball, whether it's throwing downfield, and I envision more bumps in the road for both those guys early on. So I've been impressed. And, I think we should probably throw Jacksonville in there too. I think most of us probably thought Jacksonville was a little bit, head and shoulders above the other teams in this division. And, we haven't necessarily seen that so far. They got flattened by Houston a couple weeks ago, and they're sitting there at 2-2, just like everybody else.
John, obviously no Burks on Sunday. He's going to have to be back in an important part of this offense at some point. What do you make of the way guys like NWI and Chris Moore have stepped up so far this season? I feel way better about the bottom part of the receiving room than I thought I would heading into the year.
Yeah, you have to really appreciate, what NWI has done. And I know Joe has certainly been a long proponent of NWI.
Big fan. Thank you.
We all know. I think NWI gets a tough rap sometimes because let's look at, obviously his history. He was an undrafted free agent. He made the team. He's worked his way up to a lower level receiver. And he seems to get a lot of flack now because he is not necessarily a number two or a number three guy. Well, this is a guy who maybe wasn't even going to make a team in the first place. So I think he kind of catches a lot of undue criticism just because he gets forced up into situations sometimes where he wasn't supposed to be. But, he has come through big time. He's the only receiver with touchdown catches for the Titans so far. He has two. Everybody else has a grand total of zero among the wide receivers. Who knew that four games into the season, Chris Moore would be averaging 33 yards a reception. But that's where it stands. And I think he has shown that excellent ability downfield to kind of win contested catches, to beat defensive backs when they've got a chance at it too. And, as I say, I don't know if any of us expected Chris Moore to be that guy, that the Titans might turn to for downfield throws. But, hey, that's where it stands. And he's had success so far.
33.5 points a game, by the way, for Chris Moore.
Yards, not points.
Oh, did I just say points?
You did.
I'm trying to correct
the
someone.
One-man
just,
offense.
Yeah, great,
yeah.
Great job by me. Great job. Yeah, it's true. NWI, it is sort of like the – it's like the Jeff Swaim, Cole Smith thing a little bit, right? I mean, just the idea of, it's like don't yell at the player who is, just taking advantage of an opportunity, You'd be mad that the opportunity's there. But, no, I agree. I mean, NWI has been really good. What about Tannehill, John? I feel like, obviously, he was the problem in week one. And in week three, I don't think he had a chance to glance downfield before he was hit. But what do you think he is right now? And do you think that we're seeing maybe Tannehill and Tim Kelly kind of building toward a really good quarterback OC partnership here?
I think it's certainly possible, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't think any of us can really figure out what went on there in week one. You know, it's kind of an inexplicable game for Tannehill, in my opinion. You know, and we've long discussed that, you know, not only the picks, but missing some open throws, and you just kind of scratch your head, you know, and shrug your shoulders. And you know, we haven't seen that Tannehill since. Again, I'm with you. I don't think he can take much blame for that Cleveland game because he was constantly – under assault. But, you know, I like what I have seen, you know, more so from the Titans taking those shots downfield, I think, more often and succeeding with them more often than we have in the past. You know, and I liked in the Cincinnati game, I thought they were very good in terms of play action, which is not the first time this year they've been very good in play action. You know, I do think that there's a good chemistry going on. I still think, you know, everybody was starting to wonder after that first game, okay, is this the year that Tannehill absolutely falls off a cliff? And I don't think so. You know, and in some ways you can sort of compare what Tannehill has done so far to what Derrick Henry has done. And what I'm saying is if the offensive line gives enough protection for Tannehill, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Same with Derrick Henry, what we saw last Sunday. You know, when he is not getting hit in the backfield, when he is able to get to the line of scrimmage without having to deal with contact, when he's able to get a little bit of a head of steam, you know, then we're going to see that Derrick Henry that we're used to. So similar in that regard, I think if the offensive line can help both those guys, you know, I think they've still got plenty left.
Well, John, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Got some of your questions to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see 3 Days Grace with special guest Chevelle coming up at Municipal Auditorium on October 10th. The call number 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Call number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see 3 Days Grace with special guest Chevelle coming up at Municipal Auditorium on October the 10th. Thanks to John Glennon for being with us in the last segment. Coy in Clarksville on the text line says, do you guys have any concern with Vrabel's track record against rookie quarterbacks? What do we make of that one? He'll be facing, you know, another one coming up on Sunday.
I've heard that talked about. I think last year that came up, and I don't remember which game. What rookie quarterback did he see last year? You know, you're gonna see a couple every year. I feel like last year was the first time I saw that coming up. So to that point, I'm gonna give credit here and find. I saw that Easton Freeze tweeted about this, and it's interesting. So, okay, so here's per Easton. Okay, Vrabel's Titans, 3-5 against rookie quarterbacks, 5-7 against rookie head coaches, but 3-1 against the combo of rookie quarterback and head coach. That's interesting. So that's obviously what this week is, which is, of course, both things.
But there's a couple of Urban Meyers in there too, Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. Ooh, yeah.
Right, so those went well. So here's some of the one that comes to mind when you bring up Vrabel and rookie QBs is definitely Zach Wilson.
100%.
Like the 2021 team, they were riding high. I think they just beat the Colts. It was like, oh, this team's good. And, of course, that team ended up being the number one seed. And they go into New Jersey, and I'm sitting there watching Zach Wilson break the pocket and just fling it downfield. Like
Corey Davis.
That was a bad loss. Who else?
They got smoked by Joe Burrow when he's a rookie.
Yeah, the Burrow is one, and of course that one's like, okay. 19, Minshew magic, baby. And that was the night that, again, Minshew won the game. I think they muffed, what, Adoree Jackson muffed a punt. Minshew gets a quick TD.
calais Campbell had approximately nine and a half sacks.
Calais Campbell had 17 sacks against
Jameel Douglas,
who eventually then Nate Davis takes over at right guard.
Correct.
Another one. It's interesting. It's a similar situation because in 18, they had just stunned the Texans, you know, when they had no one available and all that stuff. And that was like this great, like, whoa, Vrabel coaching moment, second game. And they'd come off a big they were looking good. I think they'd won three in a row. They go to Buffalo. And again, I've talked about that day in Buffalo when, first of all, I'm watching Josh Allen play, and I'm like, that guy is terrible. Like, this is such a bad draft pick. That dude is just like a tight end. I mean, he's basically like the guy in New Orleans. The best play Josh Allen made all day was like slowing up on the sideline to draw a personal foul. But they lost 13-12 with Nick Williams dropping the winning touchdown pass from Marcus Mariota. Not Mariota's fault, by the way. So other thing, Easton lists some of these other games. Like Mac Jones. Yeah, they were a shell. They got rolled in that game. But, yeah, I don't – like most of these games, I mean, Zach Wilson notwithstanding, and Burrow. And Burrow was great. Wilson and Burrow got him. I mean, the rookie QBs got him. Because to me, if we're going to talk about this stat, then I want to talk about the games themselves and how often it was actually the quarterback. Or if it was just circumstantial that it was a rookie quarterback. And those two guys got him. Not sure that anybody else – I mean, like Allen mentioned, those are – you know, the Titans gave up 20 and 13 in those games. So, it's an interesting thing.
They beat Davis Mills as a rookie.
They did.
Get fired up.
Although, actually, that's –
he played well.
Davis Mills played well. Tim Kelly had some stuff dialed up for the Titans defense. It's a fun thing to talk about. Not sure it means a ton. What means a ton is if you go lose your first chance to Anthony Richardson, you do have to ask yourself, how many more times is that dude going to beat you when he really puts it all together, right? Yeah. You got to get him now. You got to get him this week.
I agree. And look, I don't put a whole lot of stock in the rookie stuff. Now, the Titans have had some inexplicable performances just in general, right? Like, I mean,
right,
the way they came out against that Arizona team week one where they just got totally punked in that game. I mean, there have been some performances that you just say, huh, well, that's not very good. I mean, even the Cleveland game, it's not necessarily a surprise that they lost the game. I mean, Cleveland was favored in the game. You're on the road, all that stuff. The way it happened, I mean, that was an embarrassing performance. So, like, what if the Titans go out on Sunday and their offensive line can't block anybody and they get their butts kicked? Like, this, is that going to be credit to Anthony Richardson, or is that just what happens in the game? So,
sure.
I don't put a whole lot of stock into it. Like, I don't think Vrabel has, like, some inability to prepare against rookie quarterbacks. I just think some of these games have played out that way. You know, Joe Burrow turns out pretty darn good quarterback. Last week, notwithstanding, what you saw him was a shell of Joe Burrow. Now, I will say the Zach Wilson one's a little bit more difficult to explain. That one was just, I guess, just one of those games.
Yeah, because he did. He got him. I mean, he got him with some big plays. You know, I do remember that day thinking, yeah, he might be okay. I mean, he had been bad,
yeah,
and he's mostly been bad since. But last time out, he was pretty good.
He was.
Maybe.
He was.
Well, took was little Swifties in the stadium.
Maybe so. Mark in Paris on the text line says, you can tell Landry's not 100% back. How do you feel he's doing? This is from Mark in Paris on the text line.
Yeah, pretty quiet. And I think that, you know, one thing Vrabel said yesterday was that Gibson, who had three snaps, will play more. And I think I do look at the activation of Gibson and Caleb Murphy as a little bit of try to take a little bit of the load off Landry. Also waiting for Rashad Weaver to, you know, to make some more plays. But yeah, I think Landry, I watched him, like specifically watched him for, you know, a chunk of Sunday actually. And you know, I mean, he looks fine out there. He's not, you know, he's not making the huge impact yet. It's not like he's dragging the leg or anything like that. You know, it's four games in, ACL a year ago. Obviously, the hope is that he just stays healthy, keeps building, and looks more like Harold Landry as the season goes. But I think fewer snaps for him is a good idea. And, hey, Gibson, that's a big play. So see what else he can give you.
Landry,
they've got a surplus right now.
Landry did have essentially what was a sack on Sunday. I think Burrow got drugged like a yard across the line of scrimmage, so it didn't end up being a sack. But he essentially got there.
He got there in pretty good time.
Which was good to see. Yeah. So that was good. He only has one sack on the year. That was a very important sack that he had this year against the Chargers. But he at least got back there this past week. So hopefully, as the season goes on, that knee continues to get better because they need him to be disruptive, right? I mean, we talked about that pass rush. That they've got to have him be disruptive. I'm looking forward on Sunday to Denico Autry and the way that he plays. It just feels like every time he plays against Indianapolis, he kicks their butt. So, interested to see if that trend continues on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching right now. I'm watching a play for Anthony Richardson. Stephen Holder tweeted out inside the 10. It's just ridiculous escaping and then finding an outlet receiver for a touchdown. So, the pass rush will be important, but also the pass rush integrity will be important, and also the tackling of a huge, fast, powerful guy will be not easy.
It won't be easy. I hope for his sake that he slides a little bit more as they move forward here.
Yeah, I think you're
Otherwise, that career is not going to last for him.
No, you're right. No, for sure. That's something that he's not alone in needing to probably do that more. But, boy – He's fun. And what they've done, you know, the numbers aren't great overall and the underlying numbers aren't great, but I think what they've done with the offense makes it, you know, it suits him well and makes it tough, can make it tough on defenses.
Dennis on the text line says, stop protecting Vrabel. Admit he doesn't know how to defend rookie quarterbacks.
Yes. Dennis. Yes. I mean, we seriously specifically ripped the idea that penalties were anything. Like spent almost half of last Monday, like ripping anyone who wanted to make penalties. Wrote a column about it. I did. And then we sat there and talked about the penalties. And then now the morning show, I'll tell you, it's a penalty.
It's a ref's fault. Mike from Clarksville says, Sunday was an example of what this offense could be at minimum when they have an offensive line that is at least somewhat capable of doing their jobs. Am I crazy to think that the team should re-sign Henry and Tannehill next year and invest some of the money in a better line to run and pass block for them next year? Caps going up, team-friendly deal on both sides. Could be a great move. This is from Mike in Clarksville on the text line.
I did a podcast with Zach Kiefer yesterday, athletic football, and that's most of what we talked about is next year, you know, Henry and Tannehill. And I'm still sticking with Tannehill. I think he'd have to be so freaking good, and they'd have to be so freaking good as a result of it that it's like it would be crazy to not do it. Yep. 9-8, or isn't that, you know? So now Henry, that is a very interesting one. What if Henry? You know, Henry's like 800 yards away from the franchise record. I know that's not why you make a decision like that. Of course, it's not. But there'd be a heavy fan sentiment to bring him back. And I still think that Henry, until he actually shows that he's fallen off, be an awfully nice player to have for like $6 million next year.
He's way more likely to be back than Tannehill.
Yeah.
Way more, I think.
But people always ask that question with them together.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a pretty big difference in the two.
Chase from Bellevue says, do you think we'll ever get over that 27-point threshold this season?
I don't know. If you can get close to it most weeks, then you're probably going to be liking the results, but it's a fair point.
They've gotten
last
there twice.
Week, they could have hit 30 easily.
I think they got to 27 one time last year. It was the Green Bay game.
Yeah. That's true. So they've already doubled last year's marches to 27. But, yeah, at some point a 30-pointer would be good. I will say, until I looked at it yesterday, I forgot how many 30-point games Todd Downing spun out of that playbook. But by the way,
offensive juggernaut.
There's another one on the Vrabel protection thing. Last year, how often were we talking about everybody's like Todd Downing's a moron? I'm like, well, isn't that moron Vrabel? Like, how much of it is on Vrabel for hiring him? And he knows what they're doing offensively. Why are you not criticizing Vrabel more?
Why are you protecting Todd Downing so much?
But barely, maybe in the afternoon show, protecting Vrabel a little bit. Todd Downing, that bozo offensive coordinator that early in the season I said was an amazing offensive coordinator.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your questions to get to coming up next. Also, who's the best team in the NFL right now? We'll get into that coming up throughout the show as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Oh.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Andrew on the text line says, can you imagine trying to talk Tannehill into a team-friendly deal of getting slaughtered behind that line for another year?
And then I said,
he's going to be a starter.
Yeah.
You know?
I said, is he starting somewhere else? Are the Titans not planning to do anything different? Like, imagine the Titans being like, Ryan, we're going to continue with this exact offensive line. What do you say? I'm pretty sure the Titans are going to, you know, try to upgrade that. Also, Ryan Tannehill could next year find another place to start. That's possible.
Yeah.
But I would not call that a lock either.
No, like I think he could be a bridge quarterback for somebody. Like, he, you know, if somebody that's not drafting Caleb Williams or Drake May, but let's say you're drafting like a, I don't know,
Michael Penix,
and you want him to sit for a little while, I think he'd be a bridge quarterback for that. But that's what you're looking at if you're Tannehill next year.
Right. So Andrew says, I think I'd take my $200 million, go hang out with my wife on the boat instead of standing behind Dennis Daly and Dillard every Sunday. Well, Dennis Daly's gone, Andrew. What if it was Dennis Daly and Dillard?
Do we know how Dennis Daly's playing in Arizona?
I actually don't. Is he starting?
I don't think so. I don't know. I would be surprised.
That'd be amazing if Dennis Daly
and Josh
is protecting
Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs all the way to the surprise team in the NFL this year.
Very competitive, 1-3 they are. They did beat the Cowboys, which was incredible to watch.
They beat the Cowboys, and they've been okay.
They have been.
They're hanging in there. They're doing too well because now the Bears are going to have the top two picks in the draft. Ron says, in your opinion, is Brock Purdy the real deal? You're still waiting to see more.
Yeah. He's a real deal.
I think he's a real deal, and he is absolutely a quarterback in a fantastic situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, you talk about offensive line. They have the best offensive lineman in the league in Trent Williams. Running back, Christian McCaffrey, wide receivers, play calling, all of it.
Yeah.
He's in a great spot.
You can't have a better situation. So, I think he's good. I watch enough of him to think, yes, he's good. Also, I don't know that Brock Purdy goes anywhere and it's obvious that he's good, you know? But he fits what they do, and they are loaded.
They're loaded?
And despite the massive mistake that they made with Trey Lance.
Which is kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Given not only where they drafted him, but the draft capital they gave up to do it, and they still have the roster that they have, it's pretty nuts. Are they the best team in the league? Like, you got, they're undefeated. Philadelphia is undefeated. Buffalo's not undefeated, but they've just been annihilating people the last 3 weeks. Miami put up 70 on Denver a couple weeks ago. I know they just got killed by Buffalo. Who's the best team in the league right now in your mind?
One thing with Buffalo, Tre'Davious White, torn Achilles. That's a tough one, man.
By the way, Kansas City is also a candidate
for
that.
No, I think, yeah.
Reigning Super Bowl champions.
Yes, for sure. The best team in the league right now, yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners. I just think they've looked – I think they're complete. And I just – the question with them is going to be Purdy. I mean, if the Niners win it all this year, and again, like, Brock Purdy may end up being a great quarterback in this league, but at that point, he will be another example of, see, you can do this different ways. You can do this without having to hit at the top of the draft with the franchise quarterback who ends up actually living up to that draft position. It is possible. They will be another example of that.
Brock Purdy right now, completing 72% of his passes. He's thrown for over 1,000 yards, 9-1 an attempt, which is an incredibly high number.
That's a big number.
5 touchdowns, no picks. Highest QBR in the league.
And McCaffrey is, you know, those injuries and stuff, you just don't know. And hopefully he stays healthy, but right now he looks as good as he's looked.
You can make an argument right now, and it's not going to happen because he doesn't play quarterback, but you can make an argument right now he's league MVP. Like, he's played that well. I mean, he had 4 touchdowns on Sunday, and it's the receiving part of it too, where he's been such a weapon for them.
Yeah, and the Eagles are right there. I mean, the Eagles are they haven't played great. Obviously, they just had to go to OT to beat the Commanders. I mean, they haven't been their
they haven't been dominant selves
yet, but it's in there. I think
they're still very good.
And Swift. I wasn't sure with the running game with that trade out, but Swift has been really good. A.J. Brown's happy again. What do you have? 9 for 170-something?
Yep.
Yeah. Everything's and cool again, there. The D-line is sick. I mean, Jordan Carter is outrageous. Man, it's amazing. You know, a team like that gets Jordan Carter.
It's pretty unreal. And then there's the what we talked about last week with those two teams specifically, and you can throw the Cowboys in the mix here too, but like the offensive line. How important is the offensive line in today's game? Like, the Eagles, in my opinion, probably have the best offensive line. San Francisco's right there with them. Dallas is right there with them. And those are probably the three best teams in the NFC.
Well, and a team that I think otherwise is still average. I know I make fun of them all the time. They're a pretty good team. But the Lions have a very good offensive line. They were bad draft, and make good picks. High in the draft, offensive lineman, it helps. It matters. You know, it's interesting when you talk about the best team, because the Tre'Davious White loss is big for the Bills.
It is.
But I mean, they look fantastic. We don't want to be the prisoner of every moment, like someone. But it is interesting looking at the AFC right now that there is not an obvious answer. I mean, the obvious answer would be the Chiefs, just because they won the Super Bowl, and I do think that their defense. Although Zach Wilson looked good against it. I think their defense has been really good. They got some good young players. They got a great DC. But it is kind of, wide open. You know,
yep.
Like right now, whereas in the NFC, it's pretty consolidated at the top and it's clear. I mean, I think we're headed for a Niners-Eagles NFC championship game. I'd bet on that right now and I'd feel good about it. I don't know in the AFC.
I don't either. I mean, look, Miami – I know they just got destroyed by Buffalo. I still think Miami's in the conversation, right? Like their offense is really, really good. And defensively, that was the most surprising part of the game. Like, I think they've got some stud players defensively, and they gave up 48 to the Bills.
And if you give
Sunday.
Up huge plays because you can't tackle someone, right. And maybe Vic Fangio deserves some criticism for his plan, they're still good on D. And they're gonna
they're getting Jalen Ramsey back at some point.
Right.
Who, when he's on, is on the short list of the best cover corners in the league. So that'll make a big difference there, too. I will say, the more I watch the Chiefs play, and I agree with you, their defense, I think, is – this might be the saltiest defense that they've had during this stretch here with Mahomes. I will say, the more I watch this group, if they go out and win a Super Bowl again this year with this wide receiving core, I mean, Mahomes is – It's unbelievable. Like, they've got Travis Kelce, who's obviously the best tight end in the league, maybe the best tight end of all time. The rest of their receiving core sucks. It is not good. I mean, they have one of the worst receiving cores in the league, and they're still 3-1, and he's making plays offensively left and right. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, you got the great, great tight end. I mean, he's so good. His jerseys are going off. They're flying. People are finally figuring out how good Travis Kelce is.
His ability's been unlocked this year. It's good to see.
And maybe like he did an interview on like Good Morning Football or something where people are finally recognizing Travis Kelce's excellence.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. They just have dudes running around. And, I always thought, not always. Last year I was like, Tyreek Hill, how much did he matter? Yeah. Mahomes is a magician and so is Andy Reid. So they're going to be right there without question.
They are. And it's, other than that, you look at the rest of like the AFC North right now, I would put Cincinnati in this conversation before the season. I don't know if they're going to be able to dig their way out. Like if Burrow continues to nurse this calf, like at some point you're going to dig yourself into a hole that's too big to climb out of. And they're not there yet, but if they keep this up for a couple of weeks and he doesn't get healthier, I mean, it's going to be hard to dig themselves out of the hole that they're in.
Like you got to find a way to win in Arizona, which you can, which by the way, thank you, Trevor, Dennis Daly has not played.
And played,
but he's a good locker room guy.
That's good. Josh Dobbs probably appreciates that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys. Keep him on the bench over there.
I was like, I don't think I want to start anymore. I'm I like being a backup. But, what was I saying? I forget.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I totally derailed
you. What the heck was I saying?
Oh, yeah, the Bengals.
I had a great
point. They got to beat the Cardinals.
Beat the Cardinals. At some point, I think you have to shut them down. But the problem is you're in a hole now. And you know?
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to shut them down for your idle or off week. But Other than that, I don't. You know, you have to win this week because I've already said he's playing, and that's all there is to it. And I can't blame him. You still have your best chance with him, but it's hard to watch him.
You really. Believer in the Ravens? They're 3-1 right now, leading the AFC North.
I was a believer going into the year. And I'm a believer now. You know, because their defense on paper looked a little vulnerable, and I don't think it's an elite defense, but they always played good defense. I feel like you put on a Ravens uniform and you're going to be like some level of toughness and physicality.
Yeah.
Lamar looks good.
He does.
Lamar in this offense, I like it. I like what I'm seeing. So, yeah, I am a believer. I think they're one of a whole bunch of teams in the AFC that could make a run. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just so different between the two conferences.
Yeah, the AFC does feel a lot more wide open. NFC feels like it's San Francisco and Philadelphia. Then probably Dallas, and then maybe Detroit, and that's about it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Detroit looks pretty good.
How about Atlanta? Grigsby's got Tannehill in Atlanta next year.
Well, my question to that is, if they're not good this year, is Arthur Smith in Atlanta next year?
Right.
I think he probably is, but I don't know.
But if they can't go bad. I wouldn't feel good about it if I was him. They got to be okay. And the thing is, maybe Heinicke. Hey, real quick on the Chiefs. By the way, you know, I really wondered what the heck Eric Bieniemy was doing leaving the Chiefs. But I will say that Howell and that offense,
it
looks pretty good. I think so far, and it's early, but I think so far it looks like it might be a good move for Bieniemy.
Yeah, I think so too. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the NFL. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL, 615-737-1025.
I got to read from my phone, but it's over here like delicately placed because my phone barely holds a charge anymore. So I have to. It's like on my bag and the charge is happening. So, okay, hold on. Let me go read it.
Okay.
You know, so Jared texts me, ignores like his complete ridiculous BS that we called out today. But,
correct.
But here's what Jared said to me.
Dramatic pause.
He said, don't forget that Deion Lewis and Taywan Taylor both fumbled at Buffalo in 2018. Thank you, Jared. Thank you for the memories.
Yeah,
Deion Lewis. Also, he says that Vrabel game was when you're – or the Burrow game of 2020 was when you and Vrabel got into it on Zoom about the D coordinator. Okay. I mean, okay. Thank
those
you.
Days of the chat.
Oh, yeah. I know. That is one thing I miss is ripping on everybody in the chat.
Vrabel ripping on people in the chat.
Vrabel would sometimes. In fact, Vrabel one time wrote in the chat, Joe's a clown. but, yeah.
There we go.
Well, Jared, thanks for the memories. I was still trying to really protect him. Okay.
Yes.
It was all but. Yes. And also on my personal text line, Tron Davenport has texted in. All right, whatever. Just give me the phone. I got it to 77%. TD says, you got to call Jared out for his Steelers to the Super Bowl prediction based off their preseason.
Oh,
the preseason. It's so important. He actually did it on his annual Stillman & Company show season prediction. Yes, Jared and baby hands all the way to the Super Bowl.
A lot of takes from the preseason about Kenny Pickett and the Steelers.
Oh, they looked incredible. Amazing. And see, doesn't it matter? See how it translates from the preseason to the regular season?
Dusted.
Eat that call, Lewis!
By the Texans.
Like when the Titans have like, they'll have like a clunker in November, like lose to whatever. They'll lose to the Falcons, whatever. Like, is someone going to be like, yeah, if only they got some preseason reps for Tannehill. will do it.
Maybe Tannehill would have honed in that accuracy a little bit better.
That's right. Right?
Just saying.
Ron, I understand.
Ron on the text line says, if Purdy was with the Jets right now, would he still be this good? And would the Jets be 4-0? I don't think so. Any quarterback could be good with the Niners right now. Well, apparently not. Trey Lance in there anymore. You know?
Right.
But I hear the general point of what you're saying.
Yeah, and the biggest part about that is that their offensive line is bad. And that's why Aaron Rodgers got hurt right away. And why, look, I was impressed. Actually, Zach Wilson kind of fits them now just because he's slippery.
He can move.
Yeah, he can escape and extend play. He's at his best by far when he breaks the pocket and gets into scramble mode, right? But no. Purdy, with that team, would probably look like a low-round pick from Iowa State.
Probably would. But the situation matters.
He's good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, situation matters. You've talked about this before. Like if Brady ended up with the Lions back in 2000, what would he have turned into?
Yeah. I mean, he would be at Walled Lake Middle School as of 2003 coaching JV football.
Dan Fouts.
He would have been intense, man.
Ended up with, you know, Cleveland Browns. What would that look like?
I feel like Fouts translates, but.
Fouts, yes. Brady, no.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Well, now look, if Fouts went to the Lions, then there's a different story.
Let me ask
Remember, I was speaking specifically about Brady to the Lions.
That's true. Let me ask you your take. Speaking of Brady, Belichick and the Patriots, they're terrible. I mean, they got beat 38-3 on Sunday. Mac Jones fumbled the ball. They picked it up, scored a touchdown, threw a pick six. I mean, it was just brutal offensively with the Patriots. They're 1-3. I still think they've got a decent defense, but they're not going to be very good this year. They're not making the playoffs. They're probably going to end up 6-11, 7-10, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's if they're lucky. They're off to a 1-3 start right now. There's a lot of noise in Boston about Belichick, like, is it time to move on because of what he's looked like away from Brady? Somebody broke down the percentages the other day. He's less than 500 away from Brady all time with you know, obviously his time with the Browns before, and now since Brady's left New England, less than 500 as a coach. What do you make of what you're seeing from New England and the conversation around Belichick?
Well, yeah, I think it's just, it goes to everything. Like, you know, I'll go back to my text thread last night. Again, Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. I covered him when he was average 500 coach at Michigan State. He's all right. Well, he's the greatest college coach of all time. I mean, Vrabel says it all the time. Let's listen to Vrabel because we protect him, and we also like to listen to him. It's about players, man. It is about players, and so this is – the next example, he has a so-so quarterback that I don't think, you know, I think they got it wrong with Mac Jones. I don't think he's the problem, but I think they got it wrong with him.
He's not good enough.
Yeah, he's not good enough, and Belichick has done some weird stuff. The thing he did last year, the OC, is like punting on an entire season. I don't get it at all. I think Bill O'Brien's a nice – that's what you should do. He's 71. And to me, like, you can retire and you can feel great about your career and you've done so much, but I also get this sense that he wants to shut that up, right?
I think he does too.
But it's going to be hard. I don't know.
I don't know if he's going to be able to. Like, I just.
You know what? Look.
The who deserves more credit conversation that we talked about a couple years ago with Brady Belichick, I mean, that's over at this point. We know what the answer to that is.
And you know what? Because it's not always that way. I just said it's about players. I still will go back to – here's another quarterback take. Joe Montana's a great quarterback. Joe Montana, it's the Niners again. You know, Bill Walsh and the West Coast offense and all that stuff, it was just ahead of the curve. And so not taking anything away from Joe Montana, but I think he was elevated by that. Belichick needs a tank. Hold on to the job. Get Caleb Williams.
I mean, it's not the worst plan.
You know?
Seriously.
I mean, let's do it, Bill.
Other than that, I don't really know what
the
path out of there is going to be.
Cheated in various ways. Just tank
just
one
keep
year.
Keep it going. That does it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.